A question was asked from someone, what are the ages for the VBS to sign up? 4 to 12 is the ages. I think, what is it? Pre-kinder to sixth grade? Yeah. Also another announcement, we noticed that we ordered 120 some time ago, and there is room for a little more. In fact, one of the services we had standing room only, so we ordered 30 more chairs, and at first they said they were going to take 6 months to arrive, and now they're arriving in July, so we're excited about that. So I think the cost was somewhere around $1,800, and already 700 and something has been given towards that. So if God lays it on your heart, we appreciate every part of it. Also, we have bumps in the carpet, and we have contacted a few carpet people, and they say that has to be replaced, at least this area that's got the bumps. We cannot do anything about it because it's uneven. And so we're working with one carpet installer to put carpet tiles, and we're trying to choose something that will blend, because we're not going to get the exact same type, especially in tiles. And so we have been talking about a few things. We got a few samples. We haven't got the right one. We went to Lowe's the other day, my wife and I, and saw some good potentials. And so that's another project that's going to take another, you know, up to $2,000 to put this area and maybe a little center aisle so that it would look balanced. So, you know, this building is 26, 27 years old. And the Lord has provided this, and he has served us well. Just like my body, the age of this building is beginning to show. And so, you know, it takes more and more maintenance to the point that, you know, eventually a lot of things have to be replaced. And so it's not that we like to lavish stuff. We're trying to be as frugal as we can, but things do get old and they need to be replaced. So we appreciate your generosity and your caring for the things that we do have. So that's great. Father, I just thank you for the way you move in our lives, for the callings, for the anointings that you have given us, for the examples that you have given to us in your word for us to emulate and follow. Not only the awesome example that you gave us through Jesus Christ and his life, but you chose other men for us to be encouraged. And so, Father, I pray as we talk about these men, that we would be encouraged to continue following you with all of our hearts, to fulfill our calling and our destiny that you planned for each one of us, Father. We pray for ears to hear, hearts to understand and submit. And Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, very unusually for me to, this is what the Lord prompted in my heart to share with you today. Talk a little bit about Jeremiah the prophet. As you know, the book of Jeremiah is one of the four major prophetic books called the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are the major prophets, not because they're greater, but because their books were bigger. So the other smaller prophets, they wrote small books. So that's the only difference. They were just men like you and I who were submitted to God and were used of God mightily. Jeremiah was one of those. He was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah in the Old Testament, right before Judah ultimately fell to Babylon and was led away in captivity. God chose and sent Jeremiah to a crumbling nation to tell him, to warn him about the impending judgment, to warn them. And yet, the children of Israel didn't heed that warning. Just to have a little history of what happened during that time, you know, after King David, King Solomon ruled over the Israelites, all over Israel, Israel was united. Israel was God's people in God's land. And he reigned somewhere in the 10th century before Christ. But then, after Solomon died, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he made very, very poor decisions that led into a kingdom split. Israel got divided. And so the northern kingdom, called the kingdom of Israel, in the northern side of that area, the area of God, and then the southern kingdom, called the kingdom of Judah. And so Israel got split. Each one of these had their own kings. And that's why in the book of Kings and Chronicles, there's all kinds of kings and speaks of kings of the north and kings of the south, king of Judah, king of Israel. Sometimes it can get a little confusing. So Rehoboam's decisions made the kingdom split. And so both kingdoms ended up in corruption and sin, even though God continued to send him prophets to warn them that they would be overtaken by conquerors if they continued in sin. Well, in 725 BC, the northern kingdom, Israel, fell to the Assyrians. The southern kingdom, called Judah, survived under King Hezekiah for a short period of time. And so while Hezekiah lived, God spared them, delivered them supernaturally. However, Hezekiah was immediately followed by his wicked son, Manasseh. And the northern kingdom had fell to the Assyrians. Southern kingdom, Judah, was sinning, disobeying God, into idolatry and disobedience. Manasseh, King Manasseh, was eventually carried away by Assyria as well. When Manasseh was taken, Ammon followed him, and he was a completely wicked king. And so Judah kept going downhill, downhill. Of course, Judah owned the part of Israel called Jerusalem, so they had the temple, and they thought that, well, you know, we got the temple, we don't have any problem. And God would send prophets and said, trust me, don't trust the temple, don't trust anything else, but they wouldn't. And so there was a brief revival under King Josiah. But after that, Judah was under puppet kings placed by Egypt and Babylonia. So Judah went downhill also very quickly. And in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonian Empire once and for all. The walls of Jerusalem were breached. The temple that they relied so much on was destroyed. The city walls were torn down. And those that didn't die were taken prisoner. Jeremiah served as a prophet from the days of Josiah all the way through the reigns of Judah's last four kings. That were Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Wow. So a little note about Jeremiah the prophet. He was born to a priestly family in a place called Anatoth, which was about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. He was called as a prophet in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. And he, for about 40 years, Jeremiah spoke to God, for God, to the people of Judah. After several years of preaching, which for Jeremiah started at age 16. So he preached a few years and gave the word of the Lord. And his family turned against him. And even his own family tried to kill him. They plotted to kill him. And so over the years, he was whipped, put into the stocks, attacked by mobs, threatened even by the king. The king didn't want to hear the judgment of God. And he was pretty much ridiculed. Some of Zedekiah's princes had Jeremiah arrested, beaten, accused of treason, and thrown in jail, and from jail thrown into a deep, empty well. At one point, they put him in a septic tank that covered him waist down for days and gave him up, that hopefully he'd die, and he didn't. God spared him. Jeremiah was a lonely man. God did not let him to get married. He wanted him to have freedom to do what God called him. God knew that if he had a family, that Israel was going to go in captivity and it would worry too much. So he said, just don't get married. So he obeyed God. His blood family abandoned him. The people turned against him. He preached 40 years and nobody believed him. He was alone with the knowledge of the horrors that were coming to Judah. And that's why they call him the weeping prophet. 40 years delivering God's message to Judah, and not having one convert. How would you like that to be your resume as a preacher? Now, he preached a lot of doom and gloom and punishment. People didn't want to hear that. That's why he was persecuted so much. His early message focused on condemning false worship and condemning social injustice. And he would call the people to repentance. So all of these predictions of desolations were most of the time towards Judah, because that's where God had called him to minister to. When Jehoiakim withheld tribute from the Babylonians, Jeremiah warned that Judah would be destroyed by Babylon. The king didn't like that. So he suffered a lot through many circumstances. Now many died in the siege of Jerusalem, and many were carried off to Babylon as prisoners. Even though he preached a lot of doom and gloom, his message was ultimately one of repentance and restoration. God used him to remind his people, and he was quick to do this, that although there will be consequences for their sin, that he still had a plan for them. You know, sometimes that's hard to fathom. Some of us have had a very ugly past, and we say, how can God use me? I've done so many wrong things. We all have. There's not one of us that is exempt from that. And so, are you going to keep on looking to that past mess that you got? Or are you going to look forward to the things that God has called you to? God gave plenty of opportunity after opportunity for Judah to repent. Our God is a God of forgiveness. And yet, his justice always prevails, and yet, he is willing to forgive every time. Every time. Don't forget that. Don't think that you are beyond forgiveness at any point, no matter what you've done. But when we refuse this forgiveness that God has granted us, a just God can only allow wickedness to continue for so long before his judgment comes. So what happens if we don't repent of our wrongdoings, of our sinful and disobedient behavior? What happens when we mess up badly like Judah did and end up in a terrible mess, even though it's our own fault? You know, this world is in a mess, and this country is also in a mess. Not as bad as it could have been, but it's not as good as God would want us to be. And this is not by accident or chance. There's a scripture in Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 2. I've always been curious about that scripture, and it, in my head, it explains a lot of things that happened that we may not quite understand. It says, like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. You know, we have a habit of blaming the devil for a lot of things. Some of us have a habit of blaming God for a lot of things. And so we say, I don't know, why would God send me this? A curse without cause will not come. You know, God is a fair, he's a just, he's merciful, he's kind. And he chooses mercy over justice. But when mercy is rejected, justice will come. And God never misses on what is just. Many of us think, you know, God has punished me for this or that and the other. Listen, he set the rules way before you were born. Things are set. It's like you go out in the road, and you do 65 in the city, you're liable to get caught and ticketed. It's not the sheriff's fault. The laws were established before he got elected. He's just enforcing it. Enforcing what's already established. Sin has a curse attached with it. I mean, we have the ability to choose what we do. What we don't have the ability to choose are the consequences of those choices. And God has ordained a lot of things that will happen as a consequence of disobedience. You climb up this roof, and he has established gravity to where if you go step out the edge, you're going to go down. And you know, the going down may not be that bad. It's the landing that hurts. I can fly! God doesn't have to intervene with that curse of falling to the ground and crashing. It's already built in the system. God is trying to prevent you from taking the step off the roof. But he will not force you to do anything. Isn't that a great God? Amen. How he loves us. And yet he doesn't force us to obey him or to disobey him. He wants us to obey him. And he gives us incentives to. But if we choose disobedience, he will not force us not to. And when we do mess up, just like Judah did, I mean, after all that Jeremiah preached for a long time, Judah would still want to do their own thing. It turns out that God doesn't abandon them. He didn't abandon them either. In the midst of all of that disobedience and the doom and gloom messages that Jeremiah was giving from God to the people of Judah, even then God would give hope to the people. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know you know this scripture probably by heart, many of you do. Jeremiah 29:11, in the midst of all this judgment, God is saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He's telling this to people that are worshiping Baal, doing all kinds of crazy, not following God at all, trusting the temple to save them, the city to protect them. And God said, "The thoughts that I have towards you are of peace and a good future and hope." Jeremiah 30, verse 8, God would speak through your prophet, through the prophet Jeremiah says, "For it shall come to pass that in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from you neck." He was referring to Babylonia. "And will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them." Messages of hope and forgiveness. Jeremiah 31:4. "Again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt." Now, he's doing two things here. He's saying you're going to be destroyed. But then he gives him the hope. You're going to be rebuilt. "O virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice." I think by that time, they had already fallen prisoners to Babylonia. And Jeremiah was saying, "Yeah, you're going to suffer, but your children will come back. And the Lord will help you rebuild." Jeremiah 33, starting with verse 6, says, "Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. What a merciful God. Amen. And he follows up, then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Yes, God said, justice will prevail. And if you continue transgressing, there'll be a punishment. But I'm giving you hope. If you repent, I will forgive and I will restore. In the wall of our house, in our living room, we have a scripture from Joel chapter 2. And we hold on, as we have held to that scripture many years, where God is promising us through Joel that he will restore to us all that the locust has eaten, all that the enemy has stolen from us by tricking us, by enticing us, making us stumble and fall with our carnal nature and with evil desires. We stumble, we fall, and we pay some dear consequences. But God said it's not all lost. I am a restoring God. And just as that promise came to the Old Testament people, it comes to you and to me today. He will restore. We're witnesses of that. When I fell to cancer, boy, were we in a pickle as far as financial situation in our house. We lost the church that we started. I lost my health, almost lost my life. Financially, we were in debt to many different medical facilities. I almost lost my job. I lost my voice. And of course, that's just me. My wife went through many troublesome days, not knowing whether I would make it or not. And we had 4 children by then. That's a handful. Ask Leda. And yet, God, we stuck with the promises of God, and he restored everything that the enemy intended to do. He restored my voice. Today I speak to you with a supernatural voice. Doctors will tell you there's no way that I can be speaking the way I am. You may not care about the kind of voice I've got, but it's a voice. We ask him for a healthy speech, and he did. I used to sing. I lost that ability, but I didn't ask God to restore that. That's okay. So I got my voice. I got my health. I am approaching 70 years old, and I can go toe-to-toe with many of you as far as working out there. And I think I'll give you your money's worth. So health has been restored. Financially, we have been restored. Peace has been restored. confidence in our Savior has been multiplying. His promises are true. And though we still mess it up, we still fail at times, when we repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how low we have fallen, we have not fallen from the love of God. We are not beyond reach of His plans. He always has a plan. After Jerusalem was destroyed, the Babylonians released Jeremiah from prison and allowed him to live in the land under the protection of a governor. Unfortunately, the governor was killed 2 months after that, and Jeremiah was carried off to Egypt against his will by Jewish rebels. The Bible doesn't say exactly what happened to him, but it is known by historical documents that he died there, possibly killed by the very people who brought him there. Some say he got stoned to death. Jeremiah died in 570 BC. Jeremiah wept a lot for Israel. He wrote the Book of Lamentations, where he just poured out his heart in grief for Judah. And Lamentations has got 5 chapters. And this is what the Lord impressed me to look upon within those 5 chapters. There's a verse in the middle of the book, Lamentations chapter 3, starting with verse 21. Here, in the midst of Jeremiah pouring out his heart, saying, "Oh, Judah, why have you done this? This is going to come to you, and this is going to come, and that judgment, this judgment." But God, in the midst of all of that, He says, "This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Isn't that the truth? "Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." My wife was sharing in the beginning about the many things that we can be thankful to the Lord. His compassions are new every morning. We just don't have eyes to see as we should. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, stood alone, declared God's word while his beloved nation continued to reject the path of life. Sounds a lot like the United States, doesn't it? Now the question is, are we willing to do the same for this nation as Jeremiah did for Judah? We don't need to become prophets in order to intercede before the Lord for this nation. I know that Elisa and Erica and Aaron and Michelle and a few others have been meeting here almost every Sunday for many years, praying, interceding. We have been praying for the intervention of the Lord upon this land regularly. We have wept for the sins of this nation. We have asked for forgiveness, and have called for mercy and for God to postpone judgment. Because we know it's written. He's a just God. In 1973, abortion became law in this nation. 63.5 million babies have been murdered through abortion since then. Last Friday, the Lord worked through our judicial system, and the abortion law that was spilled innocent blood for so long in this nation has been overturned. We praise the Lord who has stopped our government from sanctioning these murders, at least the federal one. Excuse me. In Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I believe that our prayers contributed in some way to this shift in government. Thank you, Elisa. But we are far from being out of danger of judgment in these United States. Now, we cannot individually dictate how this country is going to behave like, but we can individually follow what the Lord has commanded each one of us to do. In Micah 6:8, he speaks and he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Even when things don't look good in this nation, the Lord never leaves us hopeless. In judgment, there's always mercy with our Lord. Even in our rebellion, God offers an open door. There is a season for everything, including weeping. Ecclesiastes says about that. Though we may weep for a season, a day will come for God's people when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We will discover what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You may not be called to be a prophet, but your walk and your talk are screaming a message to those around you constantly. My question to you is, what is the message that you're screaming out with your life? Is the Lord exalted in your life? Or is he someone who people cannot see or even sense in your life? You may not be called to be a prophet, but you have been called, if you're a Christian, you've been called to be an intercessor, an ambassador for Christ. I have confidence that the love of God is in you and that you love the Lord your God and that you want to do what is right. That's hard work that is not easy to do on a regular basis. But his grace is sufficient for you and me when you make a commitment to follow him with all your heart. Don't give up living a righteous life, even though no one around you even cares. He cares. Remember Jeremiah. He stayed the course of his call. And you and I can do the same. Now I want you to lift your right hand, close your eyes. Lift your right hand to the Lord and receive this blessing. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for their hearts that want to serve you and do what is right and proper. Father, I declare determination upon your people to walk upright in every area of their lives. I declare your wisdom and your gentleness upon them. I pray for their hearts to stay steady towards you and towards your word. I declare that you will use them to be salt and light in the midst of darkness and wickedness. I declare that their righteous voices will be seen and heard by those around them. I pray that you forgive them and restore them when they fall short of what you have called them to do. I declare that as they walk upright, they will experience abundant joy and peace. I declare that you will show in the reward that you bring to them. as they delight in you daily. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ towards your people. And I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you. You are dismissed. Remember, there's food prepared. If anyone needs prayer, we're going to be here for a little while. Don't forget to invite your neighbor's kids to VBS next week if you haven't done so. Blessings to you.